Welcome to the Deep Dive. This is where we take information you send us, dive deep, and pull out the key insights.
That's right.
So today we're looking at something pretty interesting within Easy Answers. It's called the AI Enhanced Mode.
Mm-hmm.
And specifically how it's using large language models, you know, LLMs, to understand questions. It sounds like a smarter way to get data.
Exactly. We're working from the help docs for the Easy Answers questions and answers page.
Mm-hmm.
And the goal is really to unpack how this AI interprets your natural language.
Right. So you can just ask in plain English and get what you need.
Yeah. Making data access simpler. Just ask.
Okay. So let's get into it. The documentation mentions two ways Easy Answers operates: AI enhanced and standard.
Correct.
And we're focusing just on AI enhanced today, right?
That's the plan. Yeah, laser focus on AI enhanced.
So what's the big difference? What makes it enhanced?
Well, the key thing is it uses these large language models, often external ones, like from OpenAI.
Okay.
And these LLMs work together with Easy Answers' own data structure, the ontology.
Right.
This whole combination lets it understand questions in a much more, you know, nuanced way. It's not just matching keywords. It's about understanding the intent.
Ah, okay. So it's getting beyond just the words to what you actually mean, like having a little data expert inside who can figure out what you're after, even if you don't phrase it perfectly.
Precisely. And the benefits are pretty significant. AI enhanced mode is built to handle more complex questions.
Mm-hmm.
It can suggest information you might have missed, you know, things needed to really refine the analysis. And it handles typos, small mistakes, pretty gracefully.
So it smooths out the process.
Yeah, the whole goal is a more fluid, efficient way to get answers from data.
And I saw mention of a more clarification button. How does that fit in?
Right, the more clarification button. That's your direct line to the AI if it needs a bit more help understanding what you're looking for.
Okay.
So if the system isn't totally sure it got your question right, you click that, and you can type in more detail in your own words to guide it.
Makes sense. So you ask your question in this AI mode. What happens next? What's the ideal outcome?
Ideally, if the AI understands you perfectly, the docs say you'll get results shown as apps.
Apps?
Yeah, basically auto-generated charts, graphs, visualizations of your data.
Yeah.
Straight from your question to the insight.
Wow, that sounds quick. But what if it doesn't fully get it? If it's confused or only gets part of the question.
Yeah, that happens. In that case, it'll either show a clear error message saying, you know, couldn't interpret that, or, and this is more helpful, it'll ask you clarifying questions.
Okay.
These questions are designed to sort of pinpoint the fuzzy parts of your request and help you make it clear.
And these clarifying questions aren't all the same, are they? The docs mention prompting for a value. Can you give an example?
Sure. Let's say you ask, show meters filter by material.
Okay.
The AI gets meters and filter by material, but it needs to know which material. So it might show you a list from your data like plastic, copper, steel, and ask you to pick one.
Ah, okay. So it narrows it down to the specific thing you want. What's another kind of clarification it might ask for?
Another common one is if you ask about a property that could mean different things, like show balance for invoices.
Right. Balance could be a few things.
Exactly. Total balance. Initial balance.
Yep.
Outstanding. The system knows these possibilities exist in the data, so it'll present them as options and ask you to specify which balance you mean.
So it's really drilling down not just what, but which specific version of the what.
Precisely.
And we mentioned the more clarification button for text input. Now, I noticed the docs say this whole clarification behavior is configurable.
That's right. It's managed in the ontology settings.
Right.
Specifically under Text2 SQL, there's a detect ambiguity option.
Okay.
So admins can tweak how much the system tries to clarify versus just saying, sorry, can't figure that out. Finding the right balance for their users, basically.
Got it. Okay, so you've asked your question, maybe answered a follow-up or two, and boom, you've got your apps, your results. What else shows up on that results page?
Right above the apps, yeah, there's a line with some useful stuff. It'll usually say something like apps generated, maybe the count,
mm-hmm.
sometimes a link for feedback you've given before. And crucially, it shows your original question again, but with the words the AI recognized, underlined.
Underlined words. And they're not just for show, right? You can click them.
Exactly. Clicking an underlined word pops open a dropdown.
Okay.
And that dropdown shows you alternative topics or properties or values that the AI understands in that context. It's super helpful.
How so?
Well, first, it shows you what other related things the system knows about. And second, it's a really quick way to tweak your question, pick an alternative, and get a new answer without retyping the whole thing.
Ah, like a shortcut to explore related ideas. Smart. And the docs mentioned a title on these drop downs.
Yeah, the title gives you context. It tells you if you clicked on a core topic like meters or a property like material, or a specific value like plastic. And if it's a property or value, it usually also shows the main topic it belongs to. Just helps you understand how the AI is thinking about your query.
And what if you click on something with like tons of values, hundreds of product names or something?
Good question. If the list has more than, say, 10 values, a search box appears automatically at the top of the dropdown.
Oh, convenient.
Yeah, it lets you type and filter quickly to find what you need without endless scrolling.
Makes sense. I also saw a note about a rule badge appearing sometimes. What's that about?
The rule badge. That means the underlined word isn't just a single value from the database. It represents a predefined rule, or maybe a group of values.
Like
you might have a rule called high priority orders that actually groups together several status codes, maybe. So querying high priority orders gets you all of those. It's a way to query at a higher, more abstract level.
That seems powerful for complex data. Now, these value dropdowns, do they always look the same?
No, they adapt. It depends on the data type of that field.
How so?
So for text fields, you usually get a list of the text values. For numbers or dates, you might get something different, maybe a calendar for dates, or range selectors, or sometimes just a box to type a specific number or date.
And for simple yes, no?
For Booleans, yeah, you'd likely just see true and false as options. Simple.
And who sets up these drop-down options and how they behave?
That's configured back in the MSO Composer. That's the tool where the data model itself is built and managed. So the people setting up the data have control over what suggestions and input methods you see there.
Okay, circling back to that results line, we skipped over the cache LLM decorator badge. What does that tell us?
Right. That badge is important. It shows how your result was generated.
Okay.
It tells you if your question, or one just like it, was asked recently, and the results were pulled quickly from the cache, like temporary storage.
Faster response, then.
Usually, yeah. Or it tells you if it was a new question, something unique, that needed a fresh interpretation by the LLM before getting the data.
Cache versus new LLM interpretation. Got it. But what if you see it came from the cache, but you suspect maybe it's not quite right for this specific variation of your question?
That's exactly what the retry button is for.
Oh.
Even if there's a cached result, hitting retry tells the system, ignore the cache, send this to the LLM for a completely new look.
So you can force a fresh interpretation.
Yep. And sometimes that can lead to slightly different results, maybe ones that are better tailored if your question had a subtle change. Gives you control.
That's good to have. Now, feedback. Essential for AI improvement. There's a thumbs up, thumbs down. How do they work here?
Pretty straightforward. Thumbs up means, yep, this looks good. I'm satisfied.
Okay.
And importantly, it tells the system its interpretation of your question was likely correct. This positive feedback helps it learn and might make that interpretation get cached for similar future questions. Faster answers down the line, potentially.
Makes sense. And thumbs down, that's for when things aren't right.
Exactly. Click thumbs down and a dialog pops up with two main options. User feedback and LLM feedback.
Okay, what's the difference?
User feedback is for, let's say, general comments, non-technical stuff. Maybe the results just weren't relevant or didn't quite answer what you thought you asked. That feedback goes off for review by admins.
And LLM feedback sounds more technical.
It is. Yeah, LLM feedback is aimed more at users who might know a bit about databases or how LLMs work.
Right.
It lets me give specific feedback on how the AI translated your question into the database query or the instructions the LLM used or linguistic stuff.
And the impact is different.
Big difference.
Oh.
LLM feedback can have an immediate effect. The technical notes you provide there are actually used to adjust the instructions if you hit retry right after.
Wow. So tech-savvy users can directly tweak the AI's approach for the next try.
Exactly. It's a way to directly influence the reasoning for that specific query. Pretty powerful.
It really is. Now, the docs mentioned some specific LLM feedback options, these technical ones. What are they for?
Yeah, there are three main ones highlighted. First is wrap reserved words within double quotes.
When would you use that?
You'd use that if, say, your database has a table or column named something that's also reserved SQL word, like order or select.
Conflicts.
Right. Wrapping it in quotes tells the database this is a name, not a command. Prevents errors. Also useful if the database cares about upper lower case and the AI didn't get it right.
Okay. Avoids database confusion. What's the next one?
Second is implement CTE with clause instead of subquery.
Sounds technical.
It is a bit. Oh. CTEs, or common table expressions, are a way to structure complex SQL queries. If the AI generated a query with lots of nested subqueries, using a CTE instead can sometimes make it cleaner, easier to read.
And maybe faster.
And potentially faster, yeah. Especially if the same subquery logic is needed multiple times. It's an optimization thing.
Okay, makes sense for complex stuff. And the third technical option.
That's optimized query for execution. This is the one you pick if the query is just running really slow or timing out, especially with large data sets.
Performance issues.
Right. It signals to the system, hey, the query you made isn't efficient enough for this data. Try to generate a faster version.
So really targeted ways to give technical guidance. Now, once you've given this LLM feedback, how do you see it again?
Right after you submit LLM feedback, the docs say a feedback link appears near the top of the results. Clicking that shows the specific feedback you just gave for that question.
Okay. And if you want to see all the feedback you've ever given or maybe others' feedback.
Yeah, there's usually a view all feedback link within that same dialog. Or you can get to the view all feedback screen directly from the options menu in the main question input area.
So you can see the whole history.
Yep. See your past questions, the feedback tied to them, gives you the bigger picture.
And for the real power users, there's that dedicated review feedback screen. What's that all about?
Right. The review feedback workflow. That's basically the command center for people managing the system's learning process. Okay. Power users go there to look at all the feedback coming in, user and LLM feedback check if it's valid, and then actually do things like update the LLM instructions, manage synonyms, make tweaks to the ontology based on that feedback.
So it's where the feedback loop gets closed and improvements are made.
Exactly. It's central to curating how the system understands questions over time.
This whole feedback system sounds really integral. It highlights how this AI mode learns and gets better. Now, the docs also had a guide on asking good questions. What are the key takeaways there for getting the best results from the LLM?
Yeah, that guide's important. The main things are be clear, be specific.
Okay.
Break down big, complicated questions into smaller, focused ones. Use the actual terms from your data, the right metrics, the right field names if you know them.
Context matters too, right?
Hugely.
Mm-hmm.
Provide context. If you're looking at trends, specify the time frame. Add filters in your question if you can. And, you know, ask questions the data can actually answer. Be realistic.
Right. And what kind of questions should you maybe avoid?
The guide flags a few types. Vague or overly broad questions, they don't work well.
Like, tell me about sales. Too broad.
Exactly. Also, compound questions trying to ask two unrelated things at once. Hypothetical what ifs that aren't based on the data. Subjective questions asking for opinions. And, like we said, questions without context, especially time frames.
So basically, talk to it clearly, like you would a human analyst, even though it's natural language.
That's a good way to put it. Precision helps.
Okay, let's dig into how it understands that natural language query, the NLQ. How does it break down your English sentence?
So NLQ at its core is about the system deconstructing your sentence. It identifies the key parts it needs.
Like
the command show, calculate, compare. The main topics or entities you're asking about these usually map to objects or MSOs in the ontology.
Okay.
Any operators greater than equals. And the filters specific values or synonyms you're using to narrow things down.
And we talked about the underlined words before. The colors mean something here too, right?
Right. The colors give you a quick visual cue of the parsing. Blue usually means it recognized a core data object or MSO.
Hmm.
Orange often means a field or property of that object. And purple typically indicates a specific value or a synonym for a value used for filtering.
And we know clicking lets you pick alternatives. What if a word isn't underlined, but you think it should be recognized, like a term specific to your business?
Good point. If a word isn't recognized, the docs mention using the action menu, there's an option like viewing MSO query and adding synonyms.
Okay.
That lets you manually link your unrecognized word to an existing term the system does know. Essentially, you teach the AI new vocabulary relevant to your data.
So you can expand its understanding over time. That's neat. What about the other words in the sentence? The ones that aren't objects, properties, or values?
Yeah, the system categorizes those too. You've got commands like show, display, aggregations like min, max, average, count.
Calculate.
Right. Then various filters, spatial, like within 5 miles,
right.
Numeric, like greater than 100, string filters using like date filters like today or last quarter.
Okay.
And finally, keywords for sorting, ascending, descending, and grouping, like group by.
It's really breaking down the grammar into database instructions. Fascinating. The docs also mentioned some NLQ improvements in version 3.5. What did that add?
Yeah, 3.5 brought some cool enhancements, things like function criteria, letting you filter based on calculations, which you can set up as rule synonyms.
More complex filtering.
Right. Also, comparing fields directly, like show me where field A equals field B in your natural language.
Oh, nice.
And heck, in conditions, which means filtering based on the results of an aggregation.
Right.
And one more, negation on value synonyms and rules. So you can say things like, show me everything except this specific value.
Adds a lot more flexibility, sounds like. Okay, last big piece. That feedback review screen for LLM questions aimed at power users. Can you walk us through that?
Sure. So this review screen, accessed via the review feedback icon, is just for AI enhanced mode. Its whole purpose is helping power users validate feedback and make those ontology improvements.
Right. Closing the loop.
Exactly. It's usually split in two. On the left, you get lists of questions that have feedback. You might see tabs like my issues versus all issues.
Mm-hmm.
And the list shows the question, maybe who last looked at it. Its enrichment status is meaning has it been improved based on feedback, if it caused an error, etc. You can filter this list too.
And the right side.
When you click a question on the left, the right panel shows all the details for that question. The original user query, did it error out? What was the actual database query generated?
The MSO query.
Right, the MSO query.
Yeah.
Also, who's assigned to review it? Its enrichment status, an option to reopen it if needed, and buttons to, like, view the ontology parts, retry the question and easy answers yourself, refresh, close.
Got it. And there are tabs within that right panel too.
Yeah, several tabs to organize the info. Question feedback shows stats and lists all the feedback entries for that question, who gave it, when, what type, the actual comments.
Okay.
Comments is for internal discussion among the reviewers. Similar questions is really useful. It lets reviewers link related questions together.
Why link them?
So if you fix the understanding for one question, that fix can automatically apply to all the similar linked ones. Much more efficient. You can add questions, see their status there.
Smart. Any other tabs?
Usually a words tab.
Well,
this shows suggested synonyms that users might have proposed for words in the question. Reviewers can see the word, who suggested it, its status pending, approved, rejected, and then take action, like approve or reject the synonym.
Wow, that's a really comprehensive system for managing and improving the AI's understanding.
It really is. It's designed for continuous improvement based directly on how people are using it and the feedback they provide.
So wrapping this up, this AI enhanced mode in Easy Answers, using these LLMs for question interpretation, it really feels like a big step forward. Making data exploration feel more like a conversation, more intuitive, getting insights just by asking in plain English.
That's the core idea. The blend of the LLM smarts, the easy feedback for everyone, and these deeper tools for the power users to refine it,
mm-hmm.
it creates this, you know, constantly evolving intelligent platform.
This has been a really insightful look into the AI enhanced mode. It's clear how asking questions naturally could, well, really change how people work with data. It kind of leaves you wondering, how might this shift, you know, from structured queries to these more natural conversations with our data platforms, how might that fundamentally change how we solve problems or make decisions day to day?
That's a great question. What new possibilities open up when the barrier to asking complex questions just melts away because the system understands language better?
Exactly. If you have access to Easy Answers, definitely explore this AI enhanced mode, see how it feels, how it could potentially streamline getting those data-driven insights you need.